Life in NASCAR. We're Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owasi Chase Air Systems. 1.3 The Buzz. Now, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio. It's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
And Jason Hildebrand.
Hello and welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios. It's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owasi Chase Air Systems. Whether you're listening to us on 101.3 The Buzz or the TuneIn app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Here's what's coming up on today's show. We'll discuss this past week's race at New Hampshire and hear from the winner, my man, Kyle Busch. Friend of the show, Alex Hayden with MRN will be joining us at 5:30. Later in the show, we'll discuss this week's race at Dover, and as always, we'll share with you our power rankings and picks to win. We've got all that and much, much more. The boss man is in the house today with his Monster Energy drinks. Always great to have him here.
Woo!
This is Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owasi Chase Air Systems.
I'm fired up.
I'm fired up, too. I told you I was talking earlier about how I've been tired lately, and now I think I'm going to be good for tonight.
Are you ready to go?
And, you know, does Sean bring them, you know, just to bring us Monster Energy drinks.
No,
but
listen.
He brings them ice cold from, noon
ice
today.
Ice cold.
I'm trying to figure
out
to get a cooler that will last that long.
They have been on ice since about 12 o'clock.
Well, that would be noon,
that's
Sean.
That's called preparation. That's why he's who he is. That's why he's Sean Whitfield.
That is true.
The man. Wow, I'm not used to all this credit.
I figured instead of cutting you down today, I'm just going to brag about you all day.
I was going to say, that'll be a change, won't it?
I guess you know who all's in the...
Was it opposite day around here?
I was going to say, what are you going to ask me for after the show?
Of course, that's Sean Whitfield that you hear sitting across the table is the ugly mug of Scott Webb, always spinning the tunes and keeping us, I wouldn't say legal, but keeping us at least on time, right?
Yeah. Whatever that means.
Yeah, definitely not legal. All right, so let's get into it. I want to talk about some Toyota dominance this weekend. And, it just so happens when I say that my guy wins. You know, Sean brought some Monster Energy drinks, but courtesy of Kyle Busch and the Rite Aid in Collegedale, I brought you some M&M's, caramel.
Caramel M&M's, I'm all in.
You know, since that is the...
you guys are ruining my dinner today.
That was the car that won this past weekend at New Hampshire. Toyota dominance.
Scott, Sean, this is the first gift I've ever gotten from Jamie.
I mean, it's...
That's not true.
It's uncanny. I mean, it has got to be... It is opposite day here.
I've bought you a couple of double cheeseburgers off the dollar menu before at McDonald's. I know for sure I've done that.
Well, you know...
And the other gift is
I've never had any of these. These are good.
Well, if you've never had them, they're going to be really good.
I hear Victory Lane smelled like these the other day.
Probably did. I'm sure it did. So
smelled like something.
Oh, gosh. There goes the legal part. All right, so Toyota dominance. Sean, you're here. I haven't talked to you in a while about NASCAR. You've been doing all your other media deals and signings and lunches and everything else. So you do drive a Toyota, so talk to me about this. I'm a little like Brad Keselowski. I'm almost getting to the point where I'm frustrated with the fact that they keep dominating the way they do.
We're going to add you to the whining club then.
Please do.
You know, it's a situation where... NASCAR fans, as well as drivers, need to quit complaining and moaning. If you get to thinking about it, earlier in the year, Ford had dominance. And in the past year, Chevrolet's had dominance. We see these ups and downs, these peaks and valleys among the manufacturers. And it wasn't that long ago that we're all going, when is the next race that Kyle Busch is going to win? It's been a year since he's won a race. Guys, it wasn't that many months ago.
No.
And the only Toyota that was performing, you know, very well was Martin Truex Jr. So I think it's just a situation where Toyota TRD, they stepped it up. They've been working hard. They've put the extra effort in the wind tunnel, and they have found some areas that they could improve on, and the competition's having a hard time dealing with it.
Scott, your thoughts?
My thoughts? I hate to.
Gosh, here we go.
You know, they're doing what they need to do to win. You know, you can say they're possibly cheating and all this sort of stuff. Until I see some proof, they're just outperforming everybody. They're outworking them. They've found an advantage. They're taking, you know, we spent the whole, like Sean said, the first 4 months of the season talking about where are the Toyotas? Why can't they run up front? Where's all the speed? They're struggling. Are they going to win a race? Are they overrated? And now when they, you know, it's come playoff time and you could see it coming. They just got better and better every week. Now, Truex is running at a level, I mean, he's the closest thing to Jimmy Johnson we've had in a long time, the way he's running. But you could see that steady performance, especially from JGR cars, coming, and it's just been getting, they've been getting, as an organization, they've been getting better and better and better. And what a time to get hot when the playoffs are underway.
Absolutely. And speaking of the playoffs, this was race two. One thing I've noticed, and it seems like I've noticed this the past couple of years with the Chase and what is now the playoffs, is when it starts, all of the drivers, most of the drivers, they're in the top 16 in the first couple of races, usually are in the top 15, 16, you know, during the race. And if you look at it, I mean, you've had several cars, Jamie McMurray, Jimmy Johnson, these guys are running up front, you know, consistently in these playoff races. Sean, do they step their game up that much during the playoffs, or is it something that just maybe we didn't look at during the regular season and now it's here and we're looking at it?
I think these guys run as hard as they can run, you know, the entire season. With the stage racing, it has certainly brought, as we've talked about here before several times this year, a whole new dynamic part of competition and entertainment to the sport that we've not ever had in the past. And I think that all these teams are not holding back. Occasionally you hear of somebody saying, accusing someone else of holding back or not bringing their best equipment to the racetrack. And I just don't believe that's the case. I believe that everybody's out there trying to perform, gain every lap that they possibly can, every point they possibly can, and keep their sponsors happy throughout each week.
I think we could talk a while on keeping sponsors happy and sponsors in NASCAR.
Well, I mean, we could. I mean, but I mean, I think Sean's right. I think, you know, I mean, I hate to.
He's a wise man, Jamie.
He is. I mean, you'll probably hear a lot of
I think Sean's right.
Like mind stuff coming out of our mouths today. But I think Sean's right. I think that their job is to go out there and run the best they can. And I think everybody. And I always tell this to people. Well, why isn't, you know, especially when, you know, in team sports and stuff, why they'll say, well, why isn't the coach playing this guy? And why isn't the coach playing this player? And why isn't the coach doing this? I've never met somebody involved in sports, a coach, a player, that's not out there trying to win. I've never saw, you know, I'm not going to play this kid because I don't like him. I've never seen that. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I've never seen it. I've seen every coach I've ever met when I was coaching. I never went out there thinking, man, I'm going to sit this kid down because I don't like him. If I thought that kid could help him, I may not like him, but if I thought he could help us win, then we're going to put him in the best situation to help us win. And I think the same thing's happening in NASCAR right now. These teams are putting themselves in the best position to get their best finish. And right now the Toyotas are just doing their job a little bit better.
And speaking of Toyotas and doing a job a little bit better, it seems like Matt Kenseth actually had a really good run this past weekend. One of the best, most consistent runs I think he's had in quite some time, Sean. It's really big for the 20 and Matt Kenseth because he didn't win a race to get in. He actually raced in on points, and it seems like he's setting himself up to do this again.
Well, I hope so, because this is a driver that could use not only his first win of the season, but could use some success as he continues to go through the championship. Because as of right now, he's unemployed for 2018. So he's kind of out there auditioning for his next ride and the future of his career. So I wish him a lot of success. Things are going well so far, and I hope he ends up to be one of the final four.
Absolutely. Well, two, that we're going to have a hard time being part of the final four unless they can get it back in gear is Kevin Harvick and Kurt Busch. Scott, big wreck at New Hampshire, and normally we don't see this, but then when you watch it on TV, you see how narrow the track is on the front stretch and the back
stretch.
There's
just not a lot of room there, is there?
There's not.
You know, especially if you get tight and bunched up and an accident happens, it can clog, you know, it clogged up. I mean, it ended up being the difference in the race, really, because Truex, again, probably had the best car.
And Dale Earnhardt Jr. backed into him.
You know, but Kyle Busch was able to navigate that crash and get himself out front, which ultimately led to the win. You know, we see these. We've seen them at Martinsville, some big pileups. We've seen some big pileups at Bristol a couple years ago when we were all up there together. So, I mean, in some of these shorter tracks, there's not as much room. You know, they did try to expand the lanes and the turns, but still, it's still there's still going to be a point there, especially on the backstretch where the lanes kind of merge together, and you really can't go more than one or two wide, and it just puts, you know, it puts a lot of peril, and that's part of the danger of these playoffs is if you don't win. And you don't win these stages during the year, and you haven't accumulated these points, you can put themselves in position where an accident can really damper your cause or really put you up against the wall. And we see that from Kurt Busch and potentially Kevin Harvick too.
Yeah, and you mentioned Kyle Busch navigating through. I mean, he had probably just the width of the car and maybe a couple inches more to squeeze between the wrecked car of Kevin Harvick and the wall, and was able to actually get through that. That made it a big deal because that, you know, he took one of the contenders that had a really fast car, as you mentioned, in Martin Truex out, and pretty much had it to where Kyle Busch could take it from there. So Kyle Busch wins, you know, a couple years ago, if it wasn't last year, year before last, when he broke his leg. You know, he come back and went on this streak. I can kind of see this going with him now. This is big. He's had a couple of good runs last week, the week before, whatever was okay. This week, it looked like he took a step forward and got that team. The pit crew, Sean, for him, I think is important. Really weird to take a couple of guys off a 15th place car and put them on, you know, a championship contending car and expect nothing to happen.
Well, it wasn't only a couple of guys. It was the entire race team.
Yeah.
And I think they were, or at least Kyle Busch was probably having some second thoughts whether or not that was a wise decision after the first week. However, it seems like that, you know, things are working out okay. But one thing that I thought about, and to add to what you were saying a moment ago, Jamie, you hear in sports that sports are won and lost by inches. And Kyle Busch added a new meaning in NASCAR of winning a race by inches, because when Kevin Harvick was in the middle of the racetrack, he goes by Kevin Harvick sitting right there in the middle of the track, and literally he was inches from left side to the right side. So he's just very fortunate that things worked out in his favor.
I think it's just because he's a good driver. So
I don't know. I'm beginning to think that you're probably thinking that there needs to be a Toyota investigation or something in NASCAR.
Well, you know, if he didn't drive the 18 Toyota, I might go with that. But just for now, I'll gripe about them winning too much. Let's hear from Kyle Busch and what he had to say after his win at New Hampshire.
Yeah, it was a close call. You know, that was certainly a defining moment of the race, I think, with the 78 getting torn up a little bit and us being able to squeak through unscathed. So, you know, thankfully, you know, when I saw the wall of smoke coming off of turn two, I was far enough back that I just checked up real hard. I had Tony in my ear telling me to slow down or stop. And, you know, the cloud of smoke was so large that you literally couldn't see anything. And I think a couple of those guys in front of us just plowed right on in. You know, I saw the 33 get into it. And then the other one in front of me, I think, was a 47 car. And he was able to squeak through there between the wall and the four. And I just followed him, hoping that that the four was done crashing and not inching forward anymore. So thankfully that was the case, and helped save our race.
Definitely, and he'll move into the second round now. Interesting to see what him and Truex will do at Dover this week. Already having wins, do they try to keep somebody out? What do you think, Sean? I mean, if you're in that situation and you've already got a win, you're going into the second round, are you trying to keep somebody out that you think might be a competitor down the road later on in the playoffs?
I think it's every man for themselves, and I think that's what's going through the minds of these drivers. I'm sure there's moments during the race that they're trying to be a good teammate, but at the end of the day, their responsibility is to capture every point they can, every bonus point they can get, and lead as many laps as possible. And so very seldom do I ever think that there's any favoritism that is displayed out on the racetrack.
All right.
Seriously, do you think Kyle Busch is going to let off the throttle to let Matt Kenseth win a race?
No,
to make sure Kenseth advances or something.
You guys
kind
of took
it
opposite of what I said, because if I'm Kyle Busch, I'm going out trying to win the race so that I could hopefully take the place of, say, a Jimmy Johnson that I know might be there later on in the playoffs. If I go win,
right,
then it takes him out.
I mean, but when you look at the list, and we'll go over the top 16 here during the second segment, but, you know, who are you going to eliminate? Stenhouse, Dillon, Newman? Those guys are already up against it. Now, I know a couple of years ago, I know there was a lot of people not wanting Kevin Harvick to win this Dover stage, and then Harvick just all of a sudden, you know, pulled out a miraculous win there. you know, when you have a guy with that kind of talent and that kind of speed, you may try to do something to make sure they don't get it. But ultimately, man, these guys, if they got the fast cars, they all know how to drive. You know, they'll put themselves in position to win races. And if they can win and eliminate somebody else, great. If not, I mean, these guys like to hold up the trophies and be in victory lane.
All right, when we come back, we need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get Sean's reaction to the national anthem. I've seen a lot of stuff on social media that he had a good reaction on Monday. We'll let you decide whether it's good or not when we come back.
We'll be back faster than a hot lap at Daytona. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios and Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle. To my left, boss man Sean Whitfield in the house today. And
getting ready to bring the hammer.
Yeah, he's getting ready to bring the hammer.
I was feeling like I need to get my jean jacket on. That's some good stuff today, Scott.
you one Def Leppard fan to another.
I started to say, you got rid of your jean jacket that you wear?
No, I still got it. I don't know if I can still wear it, but
I know those arms probably don't fit in the
that's
the sleeves.
What it is. That's the problem. What it is. One of the best bands ever. Would you agree,
I agree,
Mr. Kyle?
I'll go with that. Of course, I was, you know, compared to you two dudes, I was probably come a little late to the game as far as when these guys were popular.
I mean, that's not different in any regard.
I mean,
that has nothing to do with your age.
All I know is I have three boys. I have three boys under the age of 12. I know there might be
Scott, my
24, you know, year old child or something like that.
Sitting and right over there.
I do recall Sean being at a graduation this past year.
Yeah, my daughter's in college.
See, so there we go. Yeah. So that's why you guys are good with that. Good with that music. All right, this segment's brought to you by Allstate Insurance and Esther Suggs Agency. Give her a call for a quote, 855-0334. Sean Whitfield, I've been waiting on this ever since I typed the show schedule, I think on Monday or Tuesday. And so I want to get your take. We saw a bunch on social media. What was that?
That was me pressing the wrong button. Continue.
Okay. On social media about the kneeling and stuff like that in the NFL games, NASCAR standing up. What's your take?
I'm amazed at how this is just taken over the sports world, not just NFL, but all of sports, and especially the entire weekend. And it's surprising that our president would be, is it something like 17 tweaks or tweets?
He needs to tweak his tweeting.
That he's been doing. But my opinion is I don't agree at all with the fact that you're not standing and showing your respect to the national anthem. However, that is part of living in this country, that we all have the freedom of speech and the freedom of expression. And it is sad and disappointing that folks would not respect the national anthem, especially when you think of the men and women that have served this country and have laid their life on the line for the freedom that we all get to enjoy. But, you know, on the other hand, it's their right. I'm amazed that there's been such a large number in the NFL that has chosen to do it. And I want to read this for just a second. A friend of mine sent me this, and I think it's very well written. And this is his suggestion to the NFL. He says, here's a great strategy for an NFL making millions or NFL player making millions. Don't tick off your fan base with your political views one way or the other. If you continue to do so, you will turn them off in droves. That would then put you in a position where you actually had to go find a job in the real world. I can promise you there is a good deal of less glamour and bling in the life of most of us that we live. The same society that cheers you on and pays those ticket prices can take you down in a blink of an eye. You have to come to believe you are not bulletproof. Take my word, you are not. And so that's just a reminder that athletes in general, I think they need to keep their political views off the field, off the racetrack, whatever the sport may be, and remain neutral. Because a lot of us, when we tune in to a sports, we're trying to check out of politics. We're trying to check out of normal news.
Or the life we may live.
Yeah. So I don't think that this and politics has any place in sports.
You know, I had a slight, I guess, differing opinion, not differing opinion, just another or alternate idea. I think if you, we have the Constitution, as you mentioned, that gives us the freedom of speech, and we can kneel down if we want to and do that. I think as a way to show that you want to protest something like that, if you make that much money and you choose to kneel, I think you should donate some of your money to a neighborhood that needs that money for education to make the neighborhood better. That would mean more to me than just taking a knee, because taking a knee requires nothing. All you're going to get is a little media bashing, and that's about it. Take a knee and do something. That's what, you know, Kelly and I live our life to where, you know, at the refuge, we do something. We teach people, you know, how to get out of those situations. To me, if you're going to protest, the best way to do it is say, hey, look, this is why I'm doing it, but I'm not just going to show you, you know, what I'm doing just to show you for me. I'm actually going to go do something about it.
Well, to kind of pull this back in and give us a NASCAR focus, you know, there
thanks,
was
Scott for bringing
thanks,
it back.
Thanks. You know, there was, you know, there was a couple very prominent figures in the sport, Richard Petty and
Richard Childress.
And Richard Childress were both very adamant that they were going to, his employees were going to stand, and they were going to make sure that they, and that's, you know, that's his beliefs. We talked about Alan Jones off the air pulling his ads, you know. Then we've had some drivers themselves. Keselowski came on, had some very eloquent tweets last night. If you go back and take a look at his timeline, you know, talking about, you know, the right to protest. Yes, there is a right to protest. As for him and his family, they choose to honor the flag and to stand. That's not anything against. Junior's also had some very interesting tweets over the course of the last few days. So you can go back in his timeline and take a look. So even within the sport, there's been we've kind of seen some issues on both ends. I always go back though, and Shonda, to your point, to Michael Jordan. You know, one of the greatest athletes of all time, the entrepreneur that he was. He says Republicans buy basketball shoes too. So I think that's a, you know, we've gotten to this time and age where with social media and stuff, everybody has the right to express their opinion. And absolutely, I absolutely agree to, they have the right to protest. Sometimes we don't, as a nation, don't do a very good job listening to one another. That's for sure. Because there's things on both sides of the aisle that we could probably learn from one another. But you know, sometimes I think where this argument really, comes to a head is, differentiating the workplace from what's going on in their personal belief. And I think to your point, that's what a lot of people have issue with. It's not that they disagree with the right to protest what on either side of that. It's how do you handle work doing that in the workplace, and how is that handled with your employees? And I think really that's the question that is upon us now. And is there a proper time to do that? Obviously, a lot of people disagree with using the national anthem and the flag as the place to do that. Others, obviously, with the NFL players, you know, they thought that was an appropriate time. So it's an interesting debate, and it's one that's probably not going away anytime soon.
You know, this story has gone like wildfire in the mainstream media. And in Monday morning, one of the tweets that President Trump had was complimenting NASCAR. Complimenting the fact that the drivers and teams stood during the national anthem. Well, for someone that's not close to the sport or doesn't follow the sport or maybe just a casual fan, they could perceive that as NASCAR has made a big statement. However, that's not what happened. It was two different team owners had spoken out, and basically one driver, Dale Earnhardt Jr., at that point in time. And so I found it kind of interesting how NASCAR immediately Monday morning sent out a news release making a short, brief statement of their position on the entire subject. And of course, it was obviously politically correct,
covering your tail
statement to make. But the last thing they wanted was the fact that President Trump had used used NASCAR as just a general term or general way or name in as far as description of people in the sport, and they went on a reaction mode to make sure that they didn't have something on their hands, they couldn't necessarily.
NASCAR went into reaction mode. That's got to be breaking news.
It was
almost, I got to get some breaking news music.
It was almost like when Brian France was up on stage with Donald Trump during the campaign.
I'm still trying to get over the NASCAR, you know, did the CYT kind of deal on. That's the unfair part is they did kind of get thrown in the middle of that. And kudos to Dale Earnhardt Jr. for speaking out. He could have easily stayed on the
He could have stayed neutral on that, you know. And obviously, when you have the face of your sport and the voice of your sport, when he talks, he's like E.F. Hutton. People listen.
Right.
So, he has a big impact. And it's we don't have any problem. I don't have any problem with them expressing their thoughts. I think it's great. I think communication is what this country needs. I mean, I'm not running for office or anything, but, I think at some point, we've got to learn to start listening to one another and not just complaining and protesting one another.
Scott, out of us in this room, Jamie's the only one that has to be concerned about his political future.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Because
in that closet.
He will be running for mayor one day in Cleveland.
Right now, I have to be concerned by the time because we are past break time. So we need to go to break. We're going to have Alex Hayden on the other side of the break with MRN Radio. We'll be back in just a second.
We'll be back before Danica Patrick changes sponsors again. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus. We're back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus.
Welcome back to the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios and Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle, guest host, boss man, I guess you would call him, Sean Whitfield, who always brings the Monster Energy drinks when he comes, nice and cold.
Man, there's nothing wrong with that.
Spinning the tunes. Earlier Sean had said that, whatever, Def Leppard was the best band, and I told him I was
one of the best
old
bands.
Metallica right here.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with a little Metallica.
We got to make this Alex Hayden's intro music every time he calls us.
It's between that or Motley Crue. I've seen Alex rock some Motley Crue.
But you got to get him fired up to go. I mean, if you've got some, Metallica and Inner Sandman, I mean, I could just see him, dancing around, stuff like that, throwing some air punches.
You should see the man play the keyboard.
I've seen it. I mean, you see it on Twitter all the time. I mean, follow Alex Hayden. You can see you can get a concert.
He's had a busy week.
He has had a busy week. Alex, thanks for joining us. I know you have been crazy busy, some work, some pleasure. The first thing I wanted to find out was I wanted to get a recap of what Martinsville was like underneath the lights.
It was spectacular. It really was. I was kind of unsure what to expect because we've seen night races before. I mean, even at your local racetrack, you've seen race cars run under the lights no matter what racetrack it is. But to see Martinsville Speedway, NASCAR's oldest racetrack, completely lit up, and not just the regular Musco lighting that you see at most of these tracks now. It was under the state-of-the-art, brand-new LED lights. It was amazingly bright. There was no glare. There was no odd spots where it blind you for a moment. The driver said there's no blind spots with the light shining directly in their eyes. I got to tell you, I've run out of superlatives for the lighting system at Martinsville. And the cool thing about it, being that they're LED lights, they're automatic off and on. So, it's like when you turn them off, you don't have to wait 20 minutes for them to warm back up and come back on. I mean, they're automatic, just like a light switch in your house. So when we fired the engines for the late model Saturday night for the main event, it was already dark and the lights were on. Then they started doing this, flashball pattern all over the place.
That was
every
cool.
One of the LED lights was flickering everywhere. It was spectacular. It really was.
I saw that on MRN's Twitter. That was really cool. Well, that was to be able to do that and put that kind of production into it. That's a big deal. I think it's going to be great for the sport to have lights there at Martinsville.
I think so too. And being state-of-the-art and being that it was put in, essentially, and Clay Campbell, the president of Martinsville Speedway, has been very open and adamant in public about it. He said these lights were put in not to have night racing, but to have there just in case a cup race goes late. Now, that said, it was extremely well-received the other night. Denny Hamlin, Daniel Suarez, among other cup drivers, flew down from New Hampshire to be at that race in attendance. They wanted to see this place under the lights in person, too. So they're already pushing for a night race for the cup cars at Martinsville Speedway. I don't know if it will be necessarily a points-paying race. Maybe since we have dancing lights.
All-star race,
light
baby.
Show, an all-star race, maybe, you know?
I like it.
Don't like start it. Teasing it, Alex. Don't like start it. Teasing it.
I like it.
All right, I want to get into something real quick because this is kind of a thought I had. It's been amongst all the other stuff that we've covered that's been on social media and going on in the press. Thoughts on holding the cars from practice time? I've heard some debate, to where if the inspection process, if it doesn't quite work out for a team, then they've got to, they've got to stay out of practice.
So NASCAR's putting drivers in timeout.
Yeah, that's exactly
what we're talking about
here.
Okay.
Go
ahead. Well, here's kind of my take on this. I understand what NASCAR's point is in putting them in the penalty box or timeout or whatever you want to phrase it, however you want to do it. I get that. However, what's the point of just going out and just sitting at the end of pit road? If they're sitting in the garage area, it's not like they can get laps and to make changes to their car anyway. So why does the car have to be sitting out there? When I talked to a couple of the high-ranking NASCAR garage officials, the point was, in which I get it, is even though the driver's not the one turning the wrenches on the car and putting it through the technical inspection, driver has no idea what's going on for the most part. But they're the ones that have to be penalized. So when it's hot outside, the driver's got to be in full fire suit, gloves on, helmet on, Hans on, seatbelts fastened, and they have to sit inside the race car with the window net up in the penalty box. The idea is to make the driver mad and frustrate the driver. So the driver goes back to his team and said, all right, guys, that's enough of this. I don't want to just go out here and sit for 15 to 30 minutes, or in Logano's case this past week, for the entire hour. So the idea from NASCAR of doing this with the driver in the car is to make the driver mad to go to his team and say, stop it. So, I don't know. I see both sides of it. I wish I had a one side or another opinion on it, but I really don't. I could see it happen either way.
Alex, when I heard that news over the weekend that had happened, I first thought, well, how crazy is it for NASCAR to hold a driver in the car for 50 minutes to an hour? And then after I got to learn more about what happened, I thought, well, he failed inspection four times. And some of the same drivers are the routine offenders that NASCAR has to deal with every week. And so I could see it from NASCAR's point of view. We have had enough. We continue to tell these guys there's no reason they should continue to fail inspection. So we don't care what they have to go through. We want it to stop, and we want it to stop now.
Precisely. So, what more can NASCAR do other than to start taking away all practice for a weekend? If, say, for instance, last weekend they failed four times going to Dover this weekend, you lose all your practice time. That would be a huge penalty to a race team if they did that. Believe me, it would get their attention to cool it and cool working in the gray area of the rule book and pushing the tolerances. The bottom line is every race team has the rule book. They know what the tolerances are. They continue to push it. And I get the fact that that's their job, to try to push it and try to gain an advantage on the competition. But until NASCAR keeps ramping up the penalty, it's going to keep happening.
Well, there's one thing about it. They're going to remember at Dover what happened last weekend. Joey Logano's race team is. So I'm sure they put it in their minds very deep.
And Logano's already told Todd Gordon, his crew chief, all right, I don't want to do that again. So let's figure
out. There's better ways.
Todd Gordon's retort to that is, well, do you want to try to win this race or not? So, there's a fine line that the teams are having to balance.
We are talking to MRN's Alex Hayden here on Racing Talk Radio. Alex, another weekend, another Toyota in particular, the one of the two are at the top of the charts. It seems like and I know we've got some differing opinions throughout the garage, but it seems like Toyota, and especially Busch and Truex, have really just elevated their game and put themselves head and shoulders above the rest right now.
Oh, they have. They have. And if you're a Chevrolet fan or a Ford fan or just a particular fan of a driver other than Kyle Busch or Martin Truex Jr., don't stand up on the edge of the cliff just yet, because this sport is cyclical. We know that. We've seen Hendrick Motorsports dominate for a few years. Now all of a sudden Toyota's done their homework and they found something and they're starting to dominate these events. You can look at Chevrolet and say, man, you got to catch up. You're behind. But the argument to go against that is Kyle Larson still runs at the front of the field. Kyle Larson's still winning races, and he drives a Chevrolet. So, and it, by the way, it's a Hendrick Motorsports engine. They build their own chassis in-house, but it's an HMS engine. So you can't really say Chevrolet's behind because the 42 car's got it figured out. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, Truex and his team have found something, no question about it. You got to credit Cole Pearn and that rest of that team. Is it legal? Is it not legal? Who knows? Until whatever their advantage is found, to this point, nothing wrong with it. Same with Kyle Busch. I mean, even though he's part of a four-car team at Joe Gibbs Racing is Kyle Busch, and obviously the satellite team at Furniture Row with Truex and Eric Jones, but Kyle Busch is just a heck of a race car driver. He can, and he's proven it. He can get in anything and be very competitive. So, you know, a lot of these drivers, if the car is not as close to perfect as possible, then they're going to whine and complain about it and just ride until they get to pit road and make changes. Kyle Busch doesn't settle for that. He wants to get up on the wheel. If the car is only about a 10th place car, he's going to will that car to 6th or 7th until the next pit stop and then will it to whatever the next position is. So Kyle Busch is just a wheel man. Truex is certainly a wheel man, but that team has found something, no question about it, and they're rolling right now.
Absolutely. All right, so we've got, you know, Casey Kane just, you know, announced last week or whatever that he was going with Levine Racing. You've got Kenseth Almirola and Danica out there now. There's not, seems to not been much news this week as far as where anybody's going. Are you hearing anything about Kenseth especially?
Nothing to this point. And I say it like that because once it was made public that Danica was not going to be back at Stewart Haas Racing in the 10 car, most everybody in the garage already had been talking that Almirola is going to the 10 car because we knew Smithfield was going to Stewart Haas Racing, Smithfield Foods, that is. That's a public thing already. They've left Richard Petty Motorsports. They're now a partner at Stewart Haas Racing, Smithfield is. So everybody automatically said, okay, the Danica announcement's come down. Let's go ahead and get Almirola announced as the driver of that car. Well, here we are a couple of weeks later, and that hasn't happened. So that sends up a red flag or two on Almirola going to the 10 car automatically. That doesn't mean he's not going to be in the 10 car. It just means why haven't they went ahead and announced it when everybody, all the I's have been dotted, T's have been crossed with everybody else. The only next domino is to make the announcement. Well, that hasn't happened. So that kind of tells me that Almirola may not necessarily be the shoe-in to go to the 10 car, which it might be a Matt Kenseth, because even though Tony Stewart is very involved in picking drivers there, so is Gene Haas. And Gene Haas is the one that said adamantly a few years ago, Kurt Busch will drive one of my race cars. So we may be in another situation right now where Gene Haas, who is a billionaire, might just simply say, you know what, I like Eric Almirola, a good guy, but let's go with somebody different. So, you know, we'll find out a little bit more this weekend in the garage area because there's a couple of sources in there that always know what's going on, and it seems like it's updated every weekend, and I'm sure they're going to be having some loose lips flying around this weekend.
Alex, anybody that you see in that top 10 or 12 that may need to kind of watch their back this week? Are you concerned about anybody? Jimmy Johnson sitting there at Kevin Harvick at 10th. It's hard to mention Johnson's name in Dover and not expect to win, but is there anybody there, you know, those three or four guys, could somebody upset somebody? What are we going to see at Dover this week?
Well, I think Jimmy Johnson and Kevin Harvick both are going to be fine at Dover this weekend. I really do. Both of them are extremely good at this racetrack. So even though they might have been struggling the first couple of races of the playoffs, Dover is the elixir that they need to get well here. But, you know, that said, it's still the monster mile. You still have to conquer this thing. You know, I don't see anybody right now in the top 10 that I think is in any dire jeopardy going to Dover this weekend. But then again, these are machines that we're working with, and one 50-cent part can break and put you out of the race. So the unknown is the thing that's going to have these teams kind of up on eggshells right now. But, you know, Jimmy Johnson, I think, is going to be fine. I was talking to Chad Knaus in the garage at Chicago a couple of weeks back, and he was just kind of standing around a stack of tires, and he said, you know, I think we'll be fine. We just got to get through these first three races, and then we'll get to some tracks that we feel very good about. So I think the idea for Jimmy Johnson this weekend at Dover, if he can get out and win this thing, he's absolutely going to go do it. But if the car just isn't there and they know they're not going to be able to contend for a win this weekend, I think they'd settle for a top 10 finish and then get on out of this first round of the playoffs. Realistically, though, to answer the question, top 10 cars, I think everybody's okay.
All right, so what golf course are you going to play up in Dover, Delaware?
Ironically, there's a golf tournament tomorrow at the DuPont Country
Club.
Oh,
here we go.
But, you know, I am not going to be able to be there for that. I got a couple of commitments I got to be at outside of that. Believe me, I'm frustrated about that. but very happy to be a part of the events I got to be a part of. You know, no golf for me this weekend. However, come Monday afternoon, Tuesday, and Wednesday, there will be some golf.
I don't
want to
hear
played,
that. So. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, Alex, we appreciate you coming on. We got to get to break. I can't tell you how much we appreciate you being part of the show, and do such a great job on pit road and not even pit road now. Scotty's moved up to the booth.
He's big time. He's going big time us before long.
He is. He'll be up there on Fox, you know, on the TV show, the TV part, and talking about that. And we could say we once knew that guy. So, but Alex, man,
I'd still be a part of your show though.
Well, I appreciate that, Alex. Alex, thanks, man. Have safe travels this weekend and a good call.
Thanks, gang. Thanks so much again for having me on. It's always a fun time.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
All right, it's Alex Hayden with MRN. You can hear him on 101.3 this weekend at 2:15 as NASCAR drops the green flag on the Apache Warrior 400, and that will be on NBC, SN, and MRN. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, we'll do the Monster Energy Series point standings along with our power rankings brought to you by Whitfield Media Group. Be back in just a second.
Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. This is the fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up and hang on. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to the Babbling Instant Oil Change Studios and Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems. On 101.3 The Buzz, I'm Jamie Kyle, Sean Whitfield, and Scott Webb in the house today. Drinking Monster Energy drinks, and I bought the boys some caramel M&Ms.
I'm telling you, I'm fired up.
It
could be a sugar high, but I am
fired.
We're
celebrating Kyle Busch's victory.
That we are, as we do anytime he wins. Thanks to Sean for several weeks ago when he... come in and filled my large shoes in the host chair, brought me the little stand-out cardboard cutout of Kyle Busch that stays in front of me every time. I say that because I was on vacation. I listened to it, and it was small shoes to fill. I mean, I heard all that, so I know.
You know, it wasn't easy. I had to really step it up and do some, you know, research and homework before I could come up here and do this.
That is true. I mean, nobody realizes how hard of a job I have. Number one, putting up with Jason and Scott, but then also trying to keep this thing rolling in the right direction. So, speaking of rolling in the right direction, let's see who's up or down on the Monster Energy Series point standings. They're brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Cry Like Realtors. Listen, that is one of your biggest purchases. Buying a home or selling your house is one of the biggest financial transactions you'll have in your life. Make sure you call somebody you can trust. That's Stephanie Painter. You can call her at 473-9545 or call her sales 650-9429. She'll get it sold or she'll help you purchase. Scott Webb, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup point standings. Martin Truex Jr. is your leader. Kyle Busch is also qualified. Kyle Larson is 24 points back. Brad Keselowski is sitting in fourth place. Denny Hamlin, fifth. Matt Kenseth, sixth. Jimmy Johnson, seventh. Ryan Blaney, eighth. Chase Elliott, ninth. Kevin Harvick, tenth. Jamie McMurray, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Austin Dillon, Ryan Newman, and Kurt Busch, Casey Kane, are in for a wild time. Essentially from Keselowski, actually Hamlin up, they've already qualified. So the top five have already qualified and moved on. But the guys you're watching for this week, Casey Kane, Kurt Busch, Ryan Newman, Austin Dillon, those are the guys. Remember, four gets eliminated after this week. You got to finish in the top 12 to advance. And that is your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup point standings.
Brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Cry Like Realtors. When you drive by a house and you see a for sale sign in it, and you think, man, that house has been there forever. I guess they called the wrong realtor. They need to call Stephanie Painter, 473-9545 or 650-9429. She'll get it sold or help you buy it. All right. So that's our, you know, the neat thing about that now being the third race is you kind of get to see the bottom four, and that's the four that you really need to watch.
I mean, but of those four, are you really surprised? Kane, Kurt Busch hasn't done anything since
Newman
a little bit.
Well, I mean, just because he's such a good points racer. I mean, he's usually consistent week in, week out.
But when you start, here's the problem is, and like you mentioned this earlier in the show, you know, when those top 10, 12, 11 guys are all finishing in the top 10, 11, 12, you know, it's hard to advance yourself forward. Part of the reason he got on the roll a couple of years back is they started having some good runs, some top fives, some top tens, and then allowed themselves to advance all the way and literally finish, you know, a car length back from winning a championship. It's when your top drivers are running like they are right now, it's hard to wiggle them in. They're going to have to make a mistake. Kevin Harvick had a mistake this week, but fortunately, after a good run at Chicago the week before, he had a little bit of a leeway. The next round is where it's going to get really crazy, especially with Talladega in the mix there. Only the top eight drivers. There's going to be some good cars that are going to get eliminated, and it's fun to see how it all plays out.
A couple of important points to make about Dover is the fact, one, it's only one of two concrete tracks that we race at in the Monster Energy Cup Series, and also how physically demanding this racetrack is on these drivers. You figure it is 400 laps, and these corners taking these drivers 800 times into these four corners. So just imagine, you're in that race car, you're running as hard as you can go, and you're constantly turning that wheel.
Well, not just that, but when you go into the corner, you're kind of going down a hill, and then you're coming out and up a hill when you come out.
Yeah, so it's a racetrack that you've got to be able to have yourself in physical condition that you can handle it. You can also make sure you're stay out of trouble, because at Dover, it's known to be a racetrack that when there's an accident happen, it's just like a domino effect. It can happen to you, and there's not a whole lot you can do. It just happens all of a sudden.
Absolutely, and all of a sudden is usually how I come up with my power rankings, Scott.
There's no doubt about that.
If you wanted to know that, these are the power rankings brought to you by Whitfield Media Group. Whitfield Media Group, been around for, I don't know, 18 years? Several. I need to come up with a good catch line for that. That would be good. But we have the owner of Whitfield Media Group here, so it's good that he's going to get to participate in the power rankings. So I'll go ahead and get it started. That would be the 18 of Kyle Busch. Yes, the Carmel M&Ms. The 78, Martin Truex. How could you not have those two at the top? I don't know what Jason was thinking.
Well, listen, there's no rhyme or reason why you got anything anywhere. So
right, I'll continue. 42 of Kyle Larson. That would be – he would be in the third spot. The 21, I'm really liking me some Ryan Blaney right now. So
don't you think he's the best running Ford right now?
Absolutely.
The most consistent anyway?
Yeah, I mean, and it's hard for me to do because normally I have the two car of Keselowski there. So I think he's been the most consistent. And I'm going to keep the 48 in there because I know at some point during the playoffs – the 48 is going to make a splash. So, Mr.
Hopefully
Sean Whitfield.
Before he gets eliminated?
Well, considering that I'm still yet to get the rule book on how to determine power rankings, I'm just going to give it my best shot. Let's go with Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, Matt Kenseth, and Jimmy Johnson.
What?
Wow, I like it.
You didn't even go down the top five.
No, that's what
points.
I like. Usually it's just, he just ran
out mixed
the
it
top
up a little
five.
Bit. Yeah.
Yeah,
I liked it. It's crazy. Scott Weber.
I got Truex and Busch, you know, obviously what they've been able to do. I like what Larson, at least he's keeping himself in the conversation. Hamlin has been strong, and I put the 20 car in there. I think it's a Toyota sandwich. They got Toyota ends and one Chevy there in the middle. But I like what those five cars are doing right now.
All right, picks to win. Let's go ahead and jump into it. Of course, I will make sure that I will have Carmel M&Ms next week when Kyle Busch takes
going,
the victory at Dover.
B to B, back to back.
B to B, Sean Whitfield.
Let's go with the 48 car, Jimmy Johnson.
Mm. And like, go ahead and say it, Scott. You're right, Sean.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Sean.
You need to be more like Scott, Jamie.
Would that be any fun if we just sat here and compliment each other the whole time?
Well, it could help you throughout life.
Too.
Yeah, it would maybe an uptick move for you
throughout life. Yeah. But
It would definitely improve. It
definitely
your
help me on a radio show.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but I'm going to agree with Bossman.
Of course.
I think the 48, where he's batting like 400 at that track and won like a dozen times, it seems like. I'll take Jimmy Johnson this week.
All right. Well, it seems to fly.
Come on, jump on the bandwagon.
No, I can't jump on the bandwagon. I'm going to stay on the – of course, you know, the 48 is my second guy right now. I mean, I've always had – you can
your second
this,
or your
Scott
third
Webb.
Guy. Just depends on who wins.
Webb, I've always had the 18 and the 48 have been both of my drivers throughout this whole year. You know I've been consistent.
Especially on those 7 weeks where they've won races.
And you were the guy that was scoring Joe Gibbs Racing with a – B or B plus when they had not won a race yet so far in 2017.
I'm surprised with all the
you
media
that
you do.
I remember that.
I'm surprised with all the TV shows and the radio shows and everything else that you do that you remember
media,
that one show media. That we graded everybody out.
Oh, yeah, that stood out in my mind. Yeah.
Some things get etched in there and can never be like,
oh, yeah,
can never be erased.
Oh, wow. All right, so tune in. Make sure for the Apache Warrior 400, that's going to be this Sunday. That'll be on NBCSN and MRN on 101.3. You can hear that. And tune in next week as we'll break that down. Talk about it. We won't have Sean next week. Maybe we can get him to ship us some Monster Energy. But
that'd
it's
be great.
Been great having Sean up here. So for Sean Whitfield, Scott Webb, I'm Jamie Kyle. Talk to you next week.
This has been Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems. Join Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb and Jason Hildebrand every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.